Would the heavenly Father send down His Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes He had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let Him hang upon a tree? I wept with the answer that one earthly reason was me. I was the reason that one earthly reason. I was the guilty. He was the sacrifice. I was the taker. He was the giver. Dying while I go free, that one earthly reason was me. The fairest of angels were not summoned from the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory, and His only reason was me. The guilty. He was the sacrifice. I was the taker. He was the giver. Dying while I go free, that one earthly reason was me. I was a taker. He was the giver. While I go free, that one earthly reason, that one earthly reason, His only reason was me.
Thank you, Brother Green. And or can you imagine a God in heaven would care about you and I so much that He would focus on the reason for the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to save our wretched soul? Boy, aren't you glad God stayed focused? Boy, we lose focus so often, don't we? And that's how we get detoured off of the will of God. But thank God He stayed focused and he accomplished the purpose for which he came. Take your Bible this morning. Join me, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and then we're going to read a verse in Psalm chapter number 19 this morning for the message. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now, while you're turning there, don't stand just yet. Let me fill you in on what's happened here so that you can understand the context of the verses that we're about to read. God has now delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. He has brought them now through the Red Sea. He's given them water from a rock. He's fed them manna from heaven, quail. He's cared for them throughout all of their time of deliverance. He's given them a tabernacle to worship in. He's provided everything that you could possibly want from a gracious and wonderful God. Well, it came time to now enter into the land which God promised them, and God said, go in and possess the land. Moses, in the timeout just a minute here. Let me go ahead and make sure to scout the land out to make sure I know what's going on here. So he sent 12 spies in. You say, the preacher, should he have done that? Probably not. But hey, you know, listen, there's a lot of things that we do we probably shouldn't have done either, right? And we look at it retroactive, and we look at it in respect and thinking, you know, boy, we probably shouldn't have made that decision. But he did. And for 40 days, they spied out the land, and they came back, the 12 spies, or the 10 spies, or 12 spies came back, and or 10, 12 spies came back. And so they came, the spies came back, and y'all got me confused now. And the spies came back and spied the land. They came back, and the report came back from the majority. By the way, let me say this, that many times you'll find out in Scripture that the majority are wrong. The majority came back and said, we can't go in and take the land. It's full of giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. But God says, no, 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 go in. Two spies, Caleb and Joshua, came back and said, no, let's go up at once. God has proven Himself mighty. God has proven Himself wonderful and gracious. The 10 spies said, we can't do it. The 2 spies said, yeah, we can. We can go up and conquer the land. And the people said, well, because the majority said that we can't, they've discouraged our hearts. And they chose not to go in to the promised land. This didn't go over very well with God because He had proven Himself mighty throughout their entire lives. He had proven Himself mighty throughout His entire deliverance of them. And now it came time to cross over. It came time to make a decision. It came time to step across the threshold. And they chose to go backwards and not do God's will for their life. Now, let's stand together and read beginning in verse number 42. And that's where we are. Israel now has chosen not to go in and possess the land. Verse 42, and the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went up presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do. Now that gives me a kind of a funny picture, don't you? They went up thinking, you know what? God's going to be God. He's kind of looked the other way here and there. He's repented of the sins. Listen, He forgave us of making a golden calf. He'll do it again. So they went up, the Bible says, presumptuously into the hill. And there the Amorites chased them as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Now I want you to go back, if you would, and look at verse number 43 for our text verse. He says, so I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went up presumptuously up into the hill. Now hold your place there. Don't leave Deuteronomy 1. Look at Psalm 19 in verse number 13. David writing here says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I want to take these two verses this morning and preach to us on this subject, taking the presumptuous position. Taking the presumptuous position. That's what Israel did, and I'll explain that here in just a moment. Father, would you bless us now as we enter into this preaching hour? Would you teach us, Holy Ghost of God, the Bible? And we ask that you would stir our hearts concerning the matters at hand. And Lord, would you help us not to be presumptuous people and not to be people that come to a conclusion based on circumstantial evidence or people, Lord, that fail to observe the limits and that you permit and that you appropriate in Scripture. So many times, Lord, we go beyond the boundaries of what we know to be the right thing. Now, Father, help us this morning to be servants of God. Help us, Lord, to be obedient people, and we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. The word presumptuous is kind of a million-dollar word that many times we don't use so often, but here's what it means. It means to reach a conclusion on probable or circumstantial evidence. Now, think with me here just a minute. We're going to get back to our story. Think with me for a moment. That many times to be presumptuous is to know and to understand truth or the facts about something, but we continue to make choices and we continue to make decisions that exceed the boundaries of truth. I'll give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. If I'm going down the interstate, which I did yesterday, in a lot of places in the state of Texas, they've increased it to 75. Glory to God. I was going down the interstate, and the sign said 75 miles an hour. Now, that is what the law says, that I legally can go is 75 miles an hour down the interstate. But you know, as we all know, that many people have told us, well, they'll give you 5 miles over the speed limit. So therefore, you know what we do? We get out on the interstate, and we set our cruise control to 80 miles an hour. Now listen, what that is called is being presumptuous. What that is I understand what the sign says, but surely He will give me grace to go beyond what I know is the right thing to do. Now what happens is you going down the interstate, you have your cruise control on 80, you look up in your rearview mirror and here's a state patrolman behind you. And he pulls you over. And he walks up there and says, I need to see your insurance and your license, please. Now listen, here's what you're thinking. I don't understand. What did I do wrong? You were going 80 in a 75. But I was told that you could go 5 miles over. And so I set my cruise control. I promise you, officer, I set it on 80, only 5 miles over. He said, I understand that, sir. And you did very well because that's exactly what I caught you doing. 80 in a 75. I understand that's what you're doing. But you don't understand. People told me. Now listen, it doesn't matter what people told you, right? The sign said 75, you went 80, and what you did, you became presumptuous that you could go beyond the boundaries of what you knew to be the facts. And here's what you thought. Well, surely they'll let me go. Surely they'll just overlook 80 in a 75 because my friends back home said they'll give you 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Now listen to me. When you get pulled over and you're given a ticket, you don't really have anything to say. Because what you did is you presumed something that was not true. Do you understand that a patrol officer does not have to give you 1 mile over the speed limit? Because that's what the sign says. And what we do is we listen to everybody else. Oh, you can do this, you can do that, and they will overlook it until you get pulled over. And then the thing about it is, after you get the ticket, you get on your phone, you call the person. Hey, I thought you said I could go 5 miles over the speed limit. Well, it always works for me. You mean you didn't know this? Where did you get this? Well, that's what I always do. I just go 5 miles over and I've never been stopped yet. The problem is, it doesn't matter what their excuse is. You still have the ticket and you're still going to have to pay for being presumptuous. You see, what I'm trying to say this morning, folks, is this. In our text verse today, Israel had been given the opportunity to go into the land and claim it for themselves. God Almighty had brought them out of Egyptian bondage. After 400 years, they excitedly danced and cried and were excited about coming out of 400 years of captivity. God allowed them, when they left Egypt, to gather silver and gold and raiment and precious stones. Matter of fact, the Egyptians said, listen, take all you want. Just go. Get out. Bye-bye. And they left. They got to the Red Sea. God split the Red Sea. And the Bible said they went out over on dry ground, not a puddle in it. They went over on dry ground. They get to the other side. The Egyptians come in. God closes the Red Sea up and destroys them. And you know what they did? They began to sing. You say, that's awful. Those people lost their lives. Yeah, but they wanted to take their life. And so God stopped the enemy from destroying the people of God. So they began to sing. Shortly after that, they became thirsty, and God brought water out of a rock. Shortly after that, they became hungry, and God rained manna out of heaven. Then God gave instructions of what was to be done about building a tabernacle and worshiping God, and He came down and dwelt among them. You think, man, this is a wonderful God. Then He says, now it's time to pull up stakes and go in to the land. Well, Moses sent 12 spies in. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back and said, we can go in. Let's go in. Let's go up immediately and take the land. But the people listened to the majority, like most of us do, about going 5 miles over the speed limit. And then the thing about us, what we do is then we get upset at the person who told us to do that. We go and read them the riot act. I can't believe you. I've got a ticket here. You ought to pay this for telling me that. Well, listen, isn't it amazing that we never get upset until we get caught? Because the reason they set the speed limit and they allowed you 5 miles over, because they knew that if you went 5 miles over today and get caught tomorrow, you'd go 10 miles over. And the next day, you'd go 15 miles over. Until you got caught, and then you back her down. Right? And see, here's what we do. Listen to me. Here's what we do. We become presumptuous with God, and we think that because God didn't catch us, and we did something, that God's just looking the other way, and that, guess what? God says, listen, no, if I give you 5 miles today, you'll take 10 miles tomorrow. If I give you 10 miles tomorrow, you'll take 15 miles the next day. That's what Israel did. So God said, let's go in and conquer the land. Let's go in. Yes, I know there's giants in there, but haven't I split a Red Sea? Haven't I brought water out of a rock? Haven't I done these wonderful things? Haven't I come down in fire and protected you? Haven't I led you by a cloud by day and a fire by night? Haven't I proved myself to you? Go in and possess the land. They said, no, not this time. Yeah, we understand you did all of that, but that was in the past. You see, when we were coming out, we didn't have to face any opposition. But now we got to face some opposition. And because we have to face some opposition, we just don't think we want to do that. God said, please go in. Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in. Moses said, let's go in. And the people said, no, let's don't go in. And they chose not to go up and go in and conquer the land. Now listen, here's what happened. God says, fine. You made a choice, now I must make a choice. He said, every one of you under the age of 20 will not go in. You will go, and I will sentence you to 1 year of wandering for every year your spies spied out the land. 40 years, God says, you'll wander in the wilderness then. Everyone under the age of 20 will die. Those that are everyone over the age of 20 and over will die. Everybody under the age of 20 will go in at some point. But 40 years later, He said, this is what I sentence you and I judge you because of your lack of faith. Now listen, here's what happens. They said, oh man, golly, we didn't know it was going to be this bad. We changed our mind. We've changed our mind. We'll go in. We'll go in. Lord, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just put it on hold. No, we take it all back. We'll go in and conquer the land. And so they went to Moses and said, listen, tell God we're going in. Moses said, Lord, they're going in. He said, tell them don't go in. I'm not with them. You say, but preacher, they were sorry. But they felt bad about the decision they made. Listen to me. How many times have you felt bad about decisions that you made, but you still had to pay the consequences? Yeah. Oh, it happens all the time, doesn't it? Yeah, we can cry. Listen, people come to the altar and they kneel here and they cry and they beg God until their eyeballs fall out on the altar. They pick them up, put them back in, go back, but you're still going to pay the consequences. You see, the thing about it is, out of all the times that some of us have been pulled over, I've never cried my way out of one ticket. Never have. Now, some of you have, and that's the reason you're laughing. But for some of us, that it's just like we're a magnet to that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, I feel bad about it. Man, alive, I really feel bad about this. He said, that's a great sign right here, please. Now, listen, you sign it, you're like, man. You're still going to have to pay the consequences, all right? He said, but it was just 5 miles over. Didn't matter if it was 1 mile over. The sign said 75, you went 80, you went 80. Hey, that's the way it is. He had every right to pull you over and ticket you. You have nothing to say. Now listen, what I'm saying is Israel had an opportunity to go in and they chose not to. They said, "Bull, oh no, we didn't realize it was going to be 40 years in the wilderness. We change our mind, we'll go in." God said, don't do it. Tell them don't do it. But listen, but they did it presumptuously. You say, why did they do it that way, preacher? Why did they go in even after God said he's not going to be with them, go in? The same reason we do things like that. Because here's what happens. We think God is going to reach back into the past and look at all the good things that we've done in the past and the favor he's shown us in the past, and he's going to automatically bring it all the way to the future, and he's going to cover everything now. That's what they thought. They thought, hey, he's given us water, he'll do it again. Hey, he's done this, he'll do it again. God says, no. Not this time. Now this time, you crossed the line this time. I'm not going to do it. And they went up. Now listen, and the Bible says that they were chased out of the lands by the inhabitants as bees would chase a person. You ever seen somebody chase with bees? I remember years ago, my dad took us fishing. And we went down there, and this is when we couldn't afford rod and reels. We went fishing with cane poles. If you don't know what a cane pole is, see me. I'll make you one and try fishing with that. We went fishing with cane poles down by the riverbank, and I remember that we were going to try to have multiple poles in the water, so my oldest brother took the machete behind a tree behind us, and he started to hit. There was some little small branches and stuff, and he was going to cut a branch off and make a pole out of it. Well, he reached back with that machete and went, whack! Didn't know that there was a hornet's nest about that big up in there that he cut into. And those things, listen, if you've never had hornets on your case, that's an experience. They flew down our shirt. They got in our shirt, under our shirt, in our ear. I had bites everywhere. And listen, it didn't feel good. But what I'm saying is, as I saw my brother, because he was the first one that got attacked, he was running down like this. Now listen, you know what? God says, you got humiliated because you went and did something presumptuous I told you not to do, and they chased you out like bees were chasing you. And then they got back and wondered, I don't understand. He gave water out of the rock before to us. I just don't understand. He's given us manna before. I just don't understand why he didn't conquer our enemies. Well, listen to me, my friend. He gave them an opportunity, and then they chose not to. And then here's what we want. They wanted God to go back on his word. And they decided, you know what, we'll just force the issue. And they forced the issue and found out that God was not with them. Now, I want you to think about these things this morning as we look at this story and use this story as the foundation for what I want to speak on this morning, and that is taking the presumptuous position. Three things that I want you to remember as far as the message is concerned this morning. First of all, I want you to think about this. Taking the presumptuous position will take you farther than you want to go. Taking the presumptuous position will take you farther than you want to go. You see, the thing about it is when Israel, they made the decision, we'll not go in. Do you realize they made the decision not to go in before they found out what the judgment was of their decision? And so once the decision was made by God, they thought, wait a minute, now this is kind of a little excessive, isn't it? That's like you taking your speeding ticket, and it says on the back there, call this number. You say, preacher, how do you know that? None of your business. I'm just saying, people have told me these things. And so on the back, you're supposed to call a number and they tell you how much the ticket is. Now listen, I've never met a person who didn't think that it was excessive. What? Are you kidding me? No, sure not. That's ridiculous. How would you like to pay today, sir? They don't care whether you think it's ridiculous. They don't care whether you think it's excessive. They can care. Listen, pay the ticket, man. All right, this is what you did. And listen, you did it ignorantly because you didn't know. Listen, I promise you, if you knew that going through a school zone was one of them huge tickets, you'd think twice before you went by there. Not just speeding, but also on your cell phone. Because there's a sign right there. And you know what they do? Let me give you a warning. They sit right here across from the church and watch. I've seen them with their binoculars. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, then don't text. Don't be on your cell phone and don't speed through a school zone. You have nothing to be concerned about, right? You see what happens? We get presumptuous. In other words, we exceed what we know the boundaries to be, thinking, well, he'll just let me go. Folks, he's not. And he doesn't have to. You see, Israel went God by them taking the presumptuous position. What it did is it took them further than they wanted to go. You see, they ended up being defeated and running in life. Israel ended up 40 years in a wilderness, and Israel ended up having no sympathy from God. You know, I found out that when the fine men in blue want to have a little conversation with me about some of the things that I'm doing on the road, and they come up and they talk to me, do you know, I'm going to tell you, I know that 9 times out of 10, matter of fact, probably 10 times out of 10, I'm in the wrong. I'm very respectful. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. I sign and leave. And you know what? I pay it. You know, there's people sitting in jail today because they think, you know, if that's just not fair and I'm not going to do it, okay. That's fine. Just don't get pulled over again. Because this time you're going to go sit it out. You see, what we think, you know what, folks? We take a presumptuous position. Just like we do with local authorities, we do the same thing with God. We think that we can do whatever we want, say whatever we want, treat people however we want, and God will just look the other way. And God will listen. Hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. Hey, he's going to take care of me. Hey, he's going to be nice to me. Hey, he's going to give water. He's going to drop manna out of heaven. And God says, no, 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 not this time. Not this time. And Israel, listen to me now. They, because they took the presumptuous position, God took them further. They went further than they ever intended to go. Here's the second thing I want you to think about. Not only did their sin, not only did their presumptuous position take them further than they want to go, number two, it left them longer than they wanted to stay. It left them longer than they wanted to stay. You know how long they had to stay out of the will of God? 40 years. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what that would be like for some of us that live at church most of our life? That would be like God saying, you know what? Get your stuff and get out of the church. You'll not return for 40 years. 40 years! That's right, out. You say, man, that's awful. That's terrible. No, they had an opportunity. They had an opportunity to go in. The problem is their choices caused them to go further than they wanted to go, and it caused them to stay longer than they intended to stay. 40 years. 1 year for every year, for every day that they spied out the land. You see, what I'm trying to help us with this morning is if when you take the presumptuous position, you're going to go further than you wanted to go and you're going to stay longer than you intended to stay. You see, Israel had been delivered from 400 years of bondage. Why? Please, somebody tell me why would you ever want to go back? And listen, and you know what? They wanted to go back. Oh, listen, the smallest little thing that happened, they wanted to go back. I want to go back. And they got upset when God says, that's fine, you've made the decision, and here's my decision. Everybody 20 and over will die and never see the land. Everybody under 20 will see the land, but you know what? You're going to affect them for 40 years from having to go in. And he says, listen, here's the penalty. Here's my judgment. And God exiled Israel from the land for 40 years. Can I say to you this morning that here we are finding them wandering around. You ever find yourself wandering out of the will of God? When God said, this is what I want you to do, and you said, no, not this time. God said, that's okay. And then when you cry, Lord, I want to change my mind. Please. No, not this time. No, not this time. I'm not going to just let things roll off like this time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus, and I am going to focus on the thing at hand, and that is you will wander 40 years. You say, why did it happen, preacher? First of all, they questioned God's word. They questioned God's word. God said, go into the land. The spies came back, 10 of them. Nope, sorry, we can't do it. They questioned the word of God. The second thing they do is they questioned his promise. He had already promised the land to them. So not only did they question his word, they questioned his promise. Listen, and then I think this is the thing that did them in right here. They questioned his authority. When you question the authority of God that he can do what he said he can do, and he is who he said he is, then you are walking on eggshells, my friend, with God. And let me tell you something. Some here today may have been wandering out of the will of God in your life, and you say, preacher, I'm tired of it. Listen, it's driving me crazy. I know what God's will is, and yet you continue to follow the same path over and over because we fall into the position of being presumptuous, thinking that at any point God is going to deliver me, yet I'm going to stay doing exactly what I'm doing. And can I say to you this morning, I want you to listen to me, I'm sorry, not this time. Not this time. You see, presumptuous position, it will take you farther than you want to go. The presumptuous position will leave you longer than you want to stay. But can I say one more thing? That taking the presumptuous position will cost you more than you want to pay. Now I want you to listen very carefully. Israel changed their mind, didn't they? You think, glory to God, they changed. But listen to me, they only changed after they found out what the punishment was. Now mamas and daddies, you know when you catch your kids doing something they shouldn't be doing, you say, I'm going to discipline you. They say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, mama. You're the best mama. You're the best mom in the whole world. Nobody's better than you. You said, I understand that, sweetie, but you're still going to be spanked. But mama, I thought, well, you thought wrong. Now, folks, listen. Here's what we think. We go out, we do something wrong, we sin against God. Here's what we think. We think just by coming to church this morning and showing up Sunday morning, it's going to solve the whole problem. Come on, help me out right there. You can say amen, that's okay. Because what you do is some in this building this morning think that by attending one service this week that God's just going to say, okay, done, clear slate, we're okay. Can I say something to you? I'm sorry, not this time. Not this time. All I'm trying to help us with this morning is for us to understand that we have become very presumptuous people when it comes to the things of God. We think that just because if we want, you know what? Hey, it's okay to go 5 miles over because somebody told me that it was okay. That God, it wouldn't matter. And you find out that once judgment comes and God passes penalty on your life, you think, I don't understand, Lord. He said, listen, I gave you an opportunity. And what happens is that presumptuous position cost us more than we want to pay. You know what it did? It cost Israel 40 years of God's favor. It cost Israel. It cost many of their family members 40 years of the favor of God, one of the big things it cost him was time. And folks, that's not what all of us have a whole abundance of. And some of us, the older we get, the less time we have. We need to think. It cost others 40 years. Hey, listen, it cost everyone 20 and up their lives. And they died outside the will of God. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. I pray every day, Lord, don't let me die outside the will of God. Please don't let me go to my grave having been outside the will of God for my life. But so can I say this to you? Not only did it cost others 40 years, it cost everyone 20 and up their life. Listen, it cost God his desire to prove himself mighty, that when they went into the land, he was going to clean it up. It cost God his desire to use them to clean the land so they can inherit the land. You see, that presumptuous position will take you farther than you want to go. It'll leave you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Hey, listen, I'm all for getting right. The problem was Israel decided not to get right until after the fact. And see, that's the reason when they went back and they hearkened unto the Lord, and it says here that the Lord hearkened not to their voice, nor gave ear unto them. You say, wait a minute. I thought God's forgiven us. Yes, if you're a child of God, He has forgiven you. But what happens is we continue to be presumptuous. We continue to decide, I'm going to go 5 miles over. I'm going to go 3 miles over. I'm going to go 2 miles over the speed limit. And presume that it's going to be okay. Folks, should I tell you today, sin is sin against God. It's a debauchery in the eyes of God, in the nostrils of God. Don't presume. Don't presume. Don't go beyond the boundaries because someone told you that it was okay to. Don't go beyond the boundaries of what you know to be the right thing to do. There's consequences. Now, let me finish up and say this. Israel had no idea the cost of disobedience and sin would be so high and so stern. They thought, I can't believe it's 40 years. Are you kidding me? Yeah, 40 years. You say, why so stern, preacher? Listen to me. Follow me. This wasn't the first time they had disobeyed. Are you with me? That's the reason, folks, that people who get DWIs and DUIs and they've gotten 4 or 5, that's the reason they give them 6 months, 9 months, 3 months, 2 years, and then finally they say, listen, you know what? This is your 8th one, 40 years. They say, oh man, that's pretty stern. No, no, they've done this 7 times, folks. The penalty must go up. The payment must go up. And so Israel said, oh, but Lord, look at us now. We're smiling. We're ready to go in. Everybody get your stuff. Let's go. Yeah, they were smiling only after the fact. They changed their mind only after the fact. Oh, hey, listen, they repented only after the fact. You see, they didn't realize the cost was going to be so stern. So they truly thought that God would extend grace and mercy as He had done before. But He said, not this time. Not this time. There must be a lesson taught here. You must suffer the consequences of your disobedience. You say, man, I can't believe I got caught going 80 and a 75. But think about all the times you didn't get caught. And guess what? You found out that you kept easing up the scale, didn't you? 81, 82, 83, 84. And if you're in a real big hurry, here's what you think. You're going down the highway, you're going 80. Car goes, whew. You push that cruise off, pull in behind him, and you follow him. I found out they usually get the one in the back. You're closest. You see, they had made their decision, which in turn caused God to have to make His decision. Can I make an appeal lastly this morning? Don't make the same mistake that Israel made. Don't presume on God. Because listen, folks, there's only one way to the portals of heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, the thing about it, it's either Jesus or nothing. There is no other way to the Lord. There are people someday that are going to stand before a thrice holy God and they're going to say, wait a minute, you don't understand. They told me I could go 5 miles over. And God says, no, not this time. Yeah, you might have done whatever they told you to do then, but we're talking about your soul now. And here's what they're going to hear. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You see, there are going to be no excuses in that day. Don't be presumptuous on God. Israel took the presumptuous position and paid a great price for it when they didn't have to. You know, when you leave today, you don't have to get a traffic ticket unless you just really want one. You see, we make the choices, don't we? We decide. But I'm here to tell you, as a preacher of the gospel, don't make the same mistake that Israel made. Because what it's going to do, it's going to take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It's going to leave you longer than you intended to stay. And you listen, it's going to cost you more than you ever thought to pay. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say this morning, preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian, no question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. I'm a Christian, no question about it. If I died, I'm going to heaven. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Just slip your hand up way up high. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. The Father, almost without exception, almost 100% of the hands were raised today. So I'm going to then, Lord, by the uplifted hand, assume then that these people that raised their hand are genuine and have genuinely been born into the family of God, that they're not being presumptuous this morning and presuming on something that they know to be right. And so, Father, I pray for those one or two that could not raise their hand that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, that they might not choose the same path that Israel chose, that they might not choose the same path that these individuals made that cost other people years of time and the favor of God. And so, Father, sometimes I know, even as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, sometimes I make decisions that I know affect other people. And Lord, many times, sometimes in a negative way. And so I ask you, please, to help us this morning to make right choices and not be presumptuous, not come to the place to where we think we can exceed what we know to be true. So, Father, have your way now in this invitation time I ask. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, no one looking around. This is a very private moment. I want you to listen to what I have to ask you. If you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ, and you say, preacher, maybe I have been a little bit presumptuous on the past, on how you were raised, or maybe what someone told you that you had to do to be saved, and it hasn't matched up to the Bible, and you would say this morning, preacher, I don't know Jesus as Savior. No one's ever taken the Bible and explained to me how to be born into the family of God. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to be presumptuous about my salvation. I do not know the Lord. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Nobody's looking but me. And you'd say, preacher, please pray for me. Be honest in church. And you say, that's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. God bless you, sir. And God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you, ma'am. You can slip your hand down. Anybody else, just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you, ma'am. There's four. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. Don't be presumptuous. Don't be presumptuous on God. Anybody else will join these four. Say, preacher, that's me. All right? Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, I'm already a believer, but I've never been baptized after I accepted Christ. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I need to obey God in that area of my life. Listen, don't be presumptuous on God in this area as well. And you say, preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. I'm a believer. Just never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. All right? God bless you. About 5, 6, 7 hands raised. You can slip your hands down. Then let me say, please, in Christ's stead, don't delay. If you know the right thing to do, why would you come to church and not take care of business for God? I hope that you'll come this morning. Now, Father, please have your way now in this invitation. Father, we do not want to be presumptuous in our lives. And if we are, then, Father, may we come to an altar this morning and repent of it and turn. And realize, Lord, that in the process of turning, there may be some consequences for taking the presumptuous position. And, Father, here we have the illustration and we have the knowledge of what Israel did. And yet, Lord, they tried to force the issue against you, and yet you were not with them, and they paid a dear price. And, Lord, I don't want any of these people to have to pay a price a severe price for having a presumptuous position in life. And so would you help us today to make right decisions? Those that need to be saved, save them. Those that need to come to be baptized, Lord, today, that today would be the day they decide to obey you in believer's baptism. Whatever the case may be, let this invitation be yours in Jesus' name.